CliffCentral.com.
Yes, indeed, CliffCentral.com on this Monday morning. It's pretty chilly, I won't lie. This weekend was freezing, and apparently the coming weekend is going to be even colder.
Sorry. I can have none of that. If I haven't said before, I worked in the ski industry. You're not cold. Your jacket sucks. So that's what that's what we always used to say on the slopes.
All right. Yeah. Okay. In Switzerland, yeah. Also, they say that the most boring people in the world talk about the weather, but we are in the coldest, darkest, shittiest part of winter, so I think we're allowed to talk about it. Okay. So many things happening. Let's just talk about a few things here. First of all, this is Simba. He says, even living in the U.S., I've had serious questions about having kids after the turmoil last year. It's something you asked Dr. Hanan just now. I mean, that's an interesting point that Simba says. Mm. Andre says, if you're that way inclined, adopt. Those kids are already part of the world and deserve the best shot they can. And they won't get that in an orphanage. So I suppose that's...
Well, that's a separate argument.
Yeah, look.
It's a different point.
You know, no, there's never a perfect time to have kids. There's never a perfect amount of safety in society. There's never a perfect amount of opportunity. People have had children in the most difficult periods of human existence throughout history. And you know what? Sometimes those kids grow up to be exactly what the world needs. And sometimes, unfortunately, circumstances mean that it's really hard for them to have a happy and pleasant and comfortable life. But who knows? I mean, I'm not in any position to offer advice on this.
I mean, these kids born out of this era that we're facing at the moment, you never know. They might one day heal the world and make it a better place
for you and
for me and the entire race.
I was going to say the entire human race. There are people dying. I mean, if you care enough for the living, let's make it a better world for you and for me, you know.
And make more living people so that they can solve our problems.
So what do you think? Because, I mean, I was talking to my sister-in-law about this. You know, she's busy homeschooling the kids again, which she hates. And I don't know any parent who's going, oh, this is the best thing that's ever happened. I love it. Not one. She said it's really hard. And just getting these kids to concentrate. And, you know, the one is five, and he doesn't concentrate for more than 2 seconds. And the other one is quite studious, and he's serious, and he listens carefully, and he does the work, and he's clever. Does the work, Mbulela. He does the work.
Oh. Preach.
But she said she wonders long-term what is going to happen with all these kids who haven't socialized properly at school. We brought this up a couple of times during all this lockdown, you know, conversation. But they haven't socialized properly, haven't been around each other. They've been taught to fear other people, wear masks to protect yourself from them. You never know who could be sick. Don't touch people. Things that before were never an issue. I mean, these are not things that we thought about, you know, 15, 20 years ago at all. And then the fact that so much has been happening through screens, which from my point of view was already part of the problem long before coronavirus came to our door. Is that people were living on their screens. They were living in this digital world more than they were living in the real world. And then you've got this this strange kind of education where some parents will be really good at it, other parents will be terrible at it. They're all trying their best, I'm sure. But you can't really beat in-person learning. And one of the reasons schools mostly, by and large, have worked is because there are people who are really good at teaching who are teaching. And the others who are not that good at teaching are doing the other stuff. I don't know what the
pedagogy is a whole field of study.
Look, so it's called don't bring those people into this. We've discussed Michael Jackson already.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, pedagogy. Sorry. Sorry. No, but don't you wonder what's going to happen to that generation of kids?
Well, I do know that if I carry on watching TikTok videos of young people, I'm probably going to just get more and more irritated by them.
But that's a you problem.
It's nothing different.
That's a you problem because you and I are grumpy and old. And I'd venture to say Mbulelo is also grumpy and old. But what do you think for the kids it's going to be like?
Well, the problem is people, idiots like me get into power, right? Is that I reduce everything to the pathological, whereas to educate a child, Socrates told us a long time ago, you have to educate the whole person. So it's important for children to get together because they need to get a snot club when they cross a certain line so that their brains can develop to go, oh, there are limits, you know, oh, there is this. Oh, other people feel pain. Oh, when I touch somebody like this, it's not okay. Oh, when I speak like this, it's too loud. But you can't, that has to be organic. You know, if you let a bunch of children go and play in a backyard, they create their own hierarchies. They'll create little games. So-and-so will take, you know, the great Dr. Jane Goodall actually has done probably the best research I've ever read within this in sort of Sapiens, in how we organize those hierarchies organically, as she's written some incredible stuff
and,
about
and
baby
she's been observing. She's been observing chimps. And I mean, if you want to know what humans are like in that brain that Dr. Hanan was talking about earlier, We're like chimps and bonobos, right? So you could pick up a huge amount. So what does she say about socialization?
No, just how she just something I remember reading was that the little ones would organize themselves in hierarchy, and you could see sort of the alphas, both female and male, just organically rise to the top and get they'd get the best branches, they'd get the best, you know, even the little ones, you can already see it. And children need to do this on their own. Like parents try and force, you know, all of our sort of problems and our three divorces on our kids because, you know, you try and protect them. But ultimately, once they're gone, they're going to do their own thing. But that has to be developed organically without you, actually. You shouldn't, and they'll be fine without you, you know. So this is so important. We need the institutions. Kids need to go back to school. They need to play football. Again, most importantly, because I'm middle class, they need a snot club. From one another.
Yeah.
Even if it's a verbal putting down, you know, or we're not going to speak to you anymore because of what you said.
Exactly. But people like me get into power, which is the problem, is that it's all ego. It's not just pathological. It's not just educate the brain. You have to educate the whole person.
I think you've given us a very good excuse not to ever elect you to power, Mbulelo. That's what I've learned in the last
We've been warned.
We've been warned.
But the problem is you're all stupid and you'll vote for me and Cyril again, the egotistical egomaniac. Exactly. It will happen again, and it'll happen in the year 3000.
Well, we've got a little bit later on Collectomania, which is obviously everybody's favorite part of a Monday too, because we meet these interesting collectors from everywhere. And this morning's a special edition of Collectomania because we're going to be talking to someone who collects tons of things. That's Carolyn Stain. But we're also going to be talking to Alan Demby from the South African Gold Coin Exchange and find out about something they've done together for 67 blankets. Of course, yesterday was Mandela Day, and I saw lots of activity all over social media about Mandela Day too. We'll talk about that and all the things associated with it. So we're waiting to get to Carolyn a little bit later on for 67 blankets and for Collectomania this morning, special edition. By the way, if you collect something and you want us to know about your collection, you want to talk to us about what interesting things you collect, just send me an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com, gareth@cliffcentral.com. So on my question, Carl says, what I'm really concerned about how these kids are going to get action and form proper relationships, it's going to become a problem.
Yeah.
I mean,
what a dude.
Social media has already ruined that for so many people, right?
If we're already battling, can you imagine?
Right.
Ish.
And people are. People are really battling. I was talking to somebody over the weekend, and he was saying like he's been in a couple of relationships, and he's had very happy relationships, but half of him wants to settle down and have a wife and, you know, start a family, and the other part of him is like, God, no. He's actually enjoying his life too much. And you know, the funny thing is, like, you've got to weigh these things up and make your decision ultimately, because you know, time's not going to stand still. So if you think you want the one more than the other, go for it. What's the worst that can happen? There's no perfect timing for these things. There's no perfect time. It's never going to be absolutely the right time to decide to start a family. It's never going to be absolutely the right time to decide to get married. You just got to make that. You just got to jump. It's like bungee. Just do it. See what happens.
Yeah. Speaking of getting action, have I got a story for you?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So a mate of mine started dating this girl. This is unbelievable stuff, by the way. Put together, dude.
Okay.
Comes to me and he says, so she's got this new girlfriend has a kid with another with another guy. Right. So already for me, there's no way. I said already, get away from that. I would never do it. But okay, bless you. You're a better man than me.
Yeah.
Then he comes and tells me this incredible information. They've been seeing each other for about 2.5 months.
Yes.
Last week, he went and saw her, and you'll never guess, she had a tattoo of him on her arm.
Of the new guy, of your friend.
No, of my mate, yeah. Ooh. They've been vibing for 2.5 months.
Oh, God. Run. Yeah,
thank you. Run. And he can't understand when I said what you said. Oh, God.
Run for the hills.
Thank you.
That's not good. Not good.
Hey, Leanne? Crazy, eh?
Yeah. I mean... Yeah.
I don't even know what to say other than run.
No, I don't know what to say to that.
Just get out of here.
Without being too offensive, but that's a real problem there.
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, you've got to look at the obvious thing here. She's been with him for a very short time, and she's already decided to get a permanent tattoo on her body of him.
I mean, that's a bigger commitment than marriage, because marriage might not last, but a tattoo is going to.
Well, yeah.
I should have said, where were you, Leanne, when I was trying to talk this lunatic off the plank?
So what is he going to push him off? What does he think about this?
He's a moron. I mean,
it's lovely, it's great, she loves me.
No, but in my mind, I thought moron is, why are you coming to ask me? This should have ended already. Why are we talking about it? No, I told him, you are a moron.
But you've got to...
I said it in a little stronger words than that.
Hang on, you've got to be so careful. If this girl is genuinely as crazy as she sounds, you've got to let her down gently, man. She could go all, stabbing you in your sleep crazy. You got to be very careful how you handle this, because if she's got a tattoo of you on her body after 2 months or so, can you imagine what she's going to do when you break up with her?
Unless he has like really striking features or something and he's an interesting looking person, then there might be an excuse.
No,
you see, Leanne,
I'm trying.
What do you do?
Your problem, Leanne, is you're a really good person.
So what would you,
unlike me, you are a good, caring person.
What would you do if a girl came back after 2 months of being with you and had a tattoo of you on her arm? What would you do?
Me?
Mm.
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Dead to me. You die in front of me immediately there, and we'll never see each other again. No, you're...
So decisive.
Oh, no. You die. As I see that, you have ceased to live, as far as I'm
concerned. What about you, Leanne? What would you do if some guy did this to you?
I'd probably hang around a bit to see what else this person's capable of, just out of pure entertainment.
Leanne!
If this is what that person's, capable of doing, I wonder what else. I wonder how far I could push them.
Oh, God, no. Look, it would freak me the hell out, but I wonder if there is a responsible way you have to deal with people like this and let them down gently, because they probably, to me, it's a surefire indication that this person is not totally stable and that they're very, very dangerously close to being obsessed, if not already obsessed. So you've got to tread carefully. I would be very gentle about the way I behaved from here on in, because this is very dangerous. I mean, Ken Sunny's saying, red flag, run. So she echoes many of our sentiments already. Hadmin says, there's only one way out of that. You have to make her break up with you. But how?
That's the other one.
How do you do that? You know?
You've just got to do something really atrocious or be disgusting every day.
Hmm.
But what's too far? Like cheating on them? Like, just
move.
But it's also so passive aggressive, and it's going to hurt you in the long run. And so much effort.
Horrible. This is a very ugly situation. So what does your friend want to do? I mean, you've got a real life situation. We're all speculating about what we would do. What is he going to do?
No, look, I got a little bit heated because, you know what? I'm not an emotionally intelligent person, is what I've realized. Oh. So I've got no depth. Like, I couldn't take my mind to a place where I can understand why we're talking about it. And I was getting more and more angry as he was talking to me, because this is somebody I love. I was just getting more and more furious because I can't understand what he means about, oh, no, she's nice and all of that. Because I'm in the business of self-preservation in my private life. Right. So as soon as I see that you're even a little bit off kilter in my private life, because in the working world, I have to deal with people all the time. In my private life, you are gone faster than I would never allow you to affect my private life like this. I want stable, as stable in my life, reliable people as possible. So I was furious. I said, no, I'll talk to you this week, Chief. Because I was getting mad. I'm getting mad because I can't understand his point of view at all about how she's nice and this and that. Because I'm in the business of, once you've shown me what you're capable of, I know what you are. No, thank you.
Maybe he is crazy like her. And maybe they'll tick each other's boxes. You know, they'll both have this this kind of bizarre, what would you call it? Almost like a
just the right amount of crazy for a relationship.
Yeah, there's like a codependence. There's a codependence they build with each other.
He's had two firecrackers in a row. The last time he allegedly got involved with the previous lady's friend, but that's a whole different conversation.
Right. Okay.
But he's had two firecracker girlfriends in a row that are grown-ups, man. Like this thing's, it's not, I don't know what's going on in his
have
life.
Have you met the girl?
He's making money now. Sorry?
Have you met this girl?
I haven't met her. I haven't met her, no.
Okay.
But I know the other two. They were
because Vince says, I see he found my ex. That's what Vince says.
So it's Vince's.
Let me tell you, we've got very smart people listening to this show. Here's some serious, here's some practical advice you can follow from Andre. He says, bake beans, keep farting in bed. If that doesn't work, you have problems.
Yes.
Do like really unruly things, like shit in the cat box and, you know, just keep it going.
Yeah.
I saw a text from someone, one of those screenshots of a text, where it's a girl messaging her sister saying, please come and fetch me from so-and-so's house, her boyfriend, very new boyfriend.
Yeah.
She accidentally clogged up the loo when she went loo.
Oh.
And the only way she could, fix the situation was, and I thought it was quite clever, she removed the contents of the bowl and put them in the cat box. And when the boyfriend said to her, why did you sit in my cat box? She said, I didn't. And he said, but my cat's been dead for a week. Please come fetch me.
Oh, that's hilarious. A lot of people are talking about the Bluff this morning because the Bluff is one of those neighborhoods where the men came out and they were armed and they were ready to handle anything and no one went near the Bluff. Those people stood up for themselves. So someone says here, the Bluff, Chuck Norris's hometown. Damn straight. Love the Bluff. And then Yanni,
it's kind of given men the men that you were talking about, the masculinity.
Yes.
Again, I'm not talking about the whole population.
Sure.
But it's given if those few the opportunity to feel like to have an outlet for that adrenaline and say, whoa, I'm doing something important. I'm protecting my community.
And those guys have given confidence to their community. And we talk about community all the time in this country, and most of it is just absolute hot air and waffle, because a community is it's a group of people who come together for a specific purpose, and usually it's when they're threatened by something. This is the best definition community I've seen, and anybody who has a problem with those guys who came out to defend their families, how can you have a problem with people doing what people have done for generations in successful and sensible places? How could they be the problem in this situation? How could you find a reason? How twisted is your logic that they are the ones you need to have a problem with? Then I just want to go to a comment from Yanni here, who's clearly only just joined us, or he's maybe found the internet for the first time in his life. But Yanni says, build this station and get Darren Scott, Mark Pilgrim, and ENF Sasha on. Jesus.
Sasha.
Where have you been, dude? Like, what have you been doing, Yanni, for the last while that you've just discovered us now and that those are the people you want?
And that this is called a station.
But you can find those people if you want to listen to music and go back to 2010, whenever it was you liked radio, because it's a long time ago now, Yanni. But there are those guys are still doing that. They're still doing the, it's just gone 25 past 7 on whatever the station is, and here's a little
birthday
song.
Wishes.
birthday wishes this day in history. There's lots of that for you if that's what you want, Jannie. I'm not going to be rude to you. Thanks for joining us this morning, but I don't know if this is going to work for you or for me, frankly. My son's Instagram account has a random follow who sent him fan art of his face, which he liked. Then another random stranger DM'd him and said that she's going to tattoo this art of his face on her body. That
Sweet
is
Jesus.
Terrible. There are some very, very Sweet bored people.
Jesus.
It doesn't surprise me. I see this stuff happening.
Please.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We've got to be careful of this. And, yeah, lots of people talking about how those men who stood up for their communities during last week's craziness, those guys are the real men. Israel says, Israel, what a name. The alpha male man's best friend, or is that dogs? Yeah, we know what you mean. Tanya says, sorry for the split messages, but I ran out of message space. I'm not sure exactly what you meant there, but Tanya, we got the drift about your son and Instagram and people tattooing his face. Very, very odd. People will tattoo pretty much anything that makes them stand out from the crowd. I've seen some horrific and horrendous tattoos, and I've seen some very good ones. And the difference is enormous.
Yeah. You know, if we're going to talk about leaning towards the not normal mindset when it comes to tattoos, a lot of people do it because it gives them some sense of satisfaction if they're going through a hard time. It's almost like it replaces the feeling of self-harm.
There's a link, obviously. That's why people get addicted to it.
And like body mutilation.
Yeah. No, there is. I'm not going to try and do amateur psychology this morning. Maybe we should ask someone like Dr. Hanan about this at a future date, because there is definitely something about tattoos that attract certain people to it, and it keeps them in that space, and they get addicted to the feeling of it, and they get addicted to how it looks, and eventually they want to cover their whole body. And hey, I'm not going to give you an armchair analysis, but it's as someone who doesn't have any tattoos, I can appreciate they can look really good on the right people, and you know, if it's done by the right artist, it can be very impressive. Have I seen some horrendous tattoos in my time, and misspellings, and someone's tried to tattoo the face of their girlfriend on their arm, but it looks like someone who's just been through Chernobyl. I mean, it's, you know, it's not always a win. Can we just chalk that up to bad experiences too? Just remember, if you're going to get that done, because some people have had tattoos removed, which is apparently also very painful and very difficult and very long and arduous process to go through.
Expensive.
Just rather don't do it at all. If you're not sure, have someone paint a picture of that person for you. Put it on your wall. You know, we'll ask Alan and Carolyn just now if they appreciate that kind of art in collectomania. But don't get them tattooed on your skin unless you're absolutely 100% positive that you're going to be with them for a long time, or that they are the only person in the world who will ever mean anything like that to you.
Well, just like makeup on your face. I mean, how many decades, ladies, have we been putting eyeliner on, or guys?
Yeah.
So take that time and that effort and draw the tattoo on your arm every day for a few months and see how you feel about that.
Exactly. And then we can see how talented you are.
And I have a tattoo, so I'm not judging.
Yeah. We can see how talented you are.
There's nobody on this planet who is the most perfect person more than tattoo people now, and vegans right now. They're like very similar, you know. As soon as you say anything about tattoos, the tattoo people go, oh, yussie, like, hey, geez, what are you, 1980?
Screw you,
I mean, it doesn't make you a worse person.
I'm not a sailor.
Hey, get the hell out of my face.
I'm not a sailor or a prisoner.
Yeah, get the hell out of my face, pal. Take your tattoo and go sit in your lounge. Well, what do you want me to do? Just because I don't like tattoos. I'm scared of tattoos.
I'm not going to be the one 3 months from now who's had to cross out some ex-girlfriend's name on my arm like you did, douchebag.
Yeah.
You know, these people.
And also, I don't need a tattoo as well, just because you got a tattoo, Mr. Vegan yoga instructor dude who's got a Polynesian tattoo, and you're Craig from the northern suburbs of Joburg. Get the hell out of my face, pal. We're going to have a problem.
Some tribal thing from North America, and you've got about as much North American Indian as Mariah Carey does. Do me a favor.
Yo, now we're at Woolworths buying organic mangoes, and you want to go and come tell me how spiritual you are. Get the hell out of here, pal.
Undo
the hell out of here. Have a problem.
It sounds like you should stop going to the Woolworths where Craig the vegan and his tattoo stands in the queue in front of you. Yeah. Just avoid Woolworths.
No, the problem is, Leanne, sometimes I go to Woolworths outside of my area, and that's where I run into these scoundrels. That's why I never leave my area where, by the way, Glenda, who was up at 5:30 this morning as I came to work, I stick with Glenda, 75, and she's always walking.
You know what?
Firecracker lady.
You know what? Just do whatever you want to do, but please, if you're going to make, if you're going to get a tattoo of someone's face on your arm 2 months into knowing them, like Bulelo's friend's new girlfriend,
yes.
I'm going to judge you hard, and I'm going to stay away from you, and I'm going to warn everybody else I know to stay away from you too, because you have to be a bit of a bunny boiling lunatic to get someone's face tattooed on your arm 2 months after meeting them. After meeting them, this is not going to go well.
This is why I had to walk away. Like, I'm so angry with this guy. If he was at my house, I'm not joking, I probably would have I would have strangled him to the point of passing out, because what is he doing?
Well, listen to this. This is hilarious, right? So here are a whole lot of people with comments, and we've got to get to Collectomania, but I just want to go to some of these because they're very, very funny. Here's Tanya says, you missed the part where she did the tattoo and sent it to him, literally his face on her body, and he'd never met her. Yeah, that's her son, the face. That's pretty screwed up. Derek says, my brother has Brad, which is his name, tattooed on his armpit. So it's Brad Pitt. You know,
that's great.
Yeah, that is great, Derek, but that joke only works once at a party, and then the same people are at the next party and they go, not that Brad Pitt joke again. And you know, you can tell a joke and it's good enough, but to have to show it every time and show people your armpit, I promise you by the second time nobody cares anymore. No one's gonna go,
how many people in the world are you expecting to meet?
Brad, do that one again with the armpit, because there's one out here who's new, he hasn't seen that one before. Yeah, lekker, four ways. Very nice. Lenise says,
It's not going to heal the world.
Lenise says, I don't know, but I don't want to look like I've been slapped with a wet newspaper. All right, Lenise, no need to judge. Lord. Matt says, Mike Tyson was the OG with face tattoos. Went full tribal around the eye. Yes. Great. The best, Andre says, are those Chinese symbols that don't mean what the owner thinks they mean. If I were a tattoo artist, I would just do that. Mm-hmm. they're actually insulting to the people who have the tattoos, but they don't know. Any tribal tattoo is the most pretentious thing that you can do. Andre says, Corona's Boring says, one of my friends has a Chinese tattoo that actually means pork chow mein. See, that's great. That's excellent. Excellent, excellent. All right, very good. That's all we got time for in the discussion on tattoos, I'm pleased to say, because I don't want to get into fights with everybody who's extremely emotional about this stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about Collectomania this morning. It's something that we've been doing for weeks now. It's so much fun. We've discovered people all over the depth and breadth of this country who collect fascinating things. And this morning, in honor of Mandela Day, which was yesterday, we're going to do a special segment for you this morning of Collectomania. We're going to speak, first of all, to somebody who's no stranger to our show, and she's got her own show, and we're going to find out how that's going too. Carolyn Stain, how are you?
I'm good, Gareth. How are you doing?
Excellent, excellent. It's nice to see you. I haven't seen you in ages, and we used to see,
I know.
Used to see a fair amount of each other, and it's been horrible. When can I come and visit?
Well, you know, we've got a wonderful setup, Gareth. You've been to the garage, right?
Sure. Yeah, of course. You've got all those fancy.
And there's a glass wall.
Yes.
And so we've got a lounge set up on the one side of the glass with the cars, but we've sort of hidden the cars. It's really quite cozy.
Yeah.
And on this side, Doe and I can receive visitors. So you can come anytime you want.
And
it's like visiting someone in prison.
It is like prison, right?
It is. I haven't been out of this house for a very long time. In actual fact, I did not leave home for a year.
That's very disciplined of you, but you've also it's not as if you've just been sitting around. You've started your own new show recently. Tell us about that.
Okay, so it's very difficult talking like this. I'm on Hot.
Yes,
Hot 102.7 FM.
Right,
and it's very exciting. First of all, very sad that Classic isn't in its format as it was before. You know, with the presenters, but it's still available on DSTV Audio Channel 857.
Uh-huh.
But I'm very fortunate to still have the platform to play the music that I love, light classics. show tunes, wonderful movie scores. So I'm very, very, very fortunate. So every night from 7 till 10 on Hot 102.7 FM.
So you're doing it every night, huh, the show?
Every night. I've got Sundays off.
Good heavens, that's a lot of work. That's a serious, yeah. That's serious.
Well, you
business.
Know about it, right?
Oh, well done. That's very, very good. So, Carolyn.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited.
So, I don't know if you know what we do here on Collectomania, but we've been working with the guys at the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop for a little while. And and Alan's been on before. Let me just welcome Alan Demby here quickly, because Alan is no stranger to us either. Hey, Alan, how are you?
Hi, Gareth. How are you keeping?
Good. Extremely well. We've had some amazing people on the show with all kinds of collections, and you started all of this, Alan, by telling us about how you started with the Scoin Shop and the SA Gold Coin Collection. But, Carolyn, do you collect things before we get onto the blankets?
You know, Gareth, I was a big collector. I loved everything, jewelry. Alan will tell you. Hello, Alan.
Hi,
it's
Carolyn.
Lovely.
How
it's lovely. You? I haven't seen you for years.
We have to finish that ping pong that we played at your house.
Gareth,
seeing that you didn't invite me back, I ended up buying a piece of art by Norman Catherine with a couple of ping pong players. So next time I play you, I'll bring the picture along.
There we go.
I'm sure we've got a lovely space on our wall for the Norman Catherine.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Gareth, I loved collecting jewelry. Art, Alan can tell you, I love my art.
Yeah.
But there's no space on our wall, so a lot of the stuff goes as gifts to friends. And I no longer am a jewelry collector. You know, what's the point, actually? So I like to say I collect friends.
Yeah, no, that's a good thing to collect. I'm happy with that explanation. Let's just talk about the amazing stuff you've been doing for 67 Blankets, which you started some time ago, and we've discussed this on the show a little bit before. You've always got wool on you. You're always busy crocheting and knitting, and you've got teams of people all over the country doing the same things. You've broken some extraordinary records, Carolyn. Boast a little bit to remind people who don't know.
Okay, we've got 4 Guinness World Records.
Amazing.
We're talking about 67 blankets for Nelson Mandela Day.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, we broke the record for the biggest crochet blanket in the world. And I see you've got it up on your screen.
Yep.
Where for miles there were blankets for Africa, thousands of blankets made by our knitwits for Madiba. So that measured 3,377 square meters.
Wow.
And then we were beaten by India.
How dare
and then
they?
People said, you know, you can't beat India, you know, billions of people. We've only got millions. I said, but, you know, billions of people are not making blankets.
Yeah.
So then we got everybody involved, our children, our mothers, our fathers, our aunts, our uncles, prisoners all around the country. We had 84 prisons involved in creating blankets. So we did a blanket measuring over 17,000 square meters at Drakenstein Correctional Center in the Western Cape.
Phenomenal.
The wind was blowing. The rain was coming down. But you know what? We are South Africans. We rolled up our sleeves and we did it. We beat India in what we call the Wool Cup.
Brilliant.
so that was very exciting. And then again, the largest knitted blanket in the world, the longest scarf in the world. That was at the Mandela Capture Site in Howick,
mm-hmm.
Which measured. I said, we're going to make the scarf measuring 27 kilometers. The record was held by India at 14 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
The Mandela spent 27 years behind bars. We're going to make a kilometer per year that he spent
wow.
behind bars. So, you know, 2 weeks before this big event, which was in 2018, we had just completed that large Mandela masterpiece at Zondervotte Correctional Center, which was just magnificent.
That's, that's visuals, the portrait, right?
Visual satellite. Yeah, satellite visuals. Yes, Alan Demby bought that.
It's amazing.
For 67,000 rands. Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. So, Alan, I mean, this is amazing. You guys, but
so,
you
Gareth, let me just finish my story.
Mm-hmm.
So we made a measuring 27 kilometers. 2 weeks before the event, we had 4 kilometers of scarf. On the day, we made a scarf that measured over 29 kilometers. Go figure how long that is.
Phenomenal. I mean, you can probably see that from space.
Yes, you can.
So, Alan, you guys have been involved here, and I mean, you've been supporting Carolyn, but what exactly is your involvement in 67 Blankets, and how have you guys become involved with what Carolyn's been doing?
Well, Gareth, we've been promoting the Mandela Medallions for the last 20-odd years.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, we've just been exposed to some of these projects. A couple of years ago, as an example, I was driving home in my car, and I heard that Kirsten Bosch would no longer be able to go to the Chelsea Flower Show because they didn't have sufficient funds.
Yeah.
So the next day I got on the phone, I spoke to the guys, and the next day I flew down to Kirsten Bosch, and we agreed a 3-year sponsorship. And the next thing I knew, I went to the Chelsea Flower Show with the team from South Africa, and the guys won a gold medallion. It looked very much like the blanket that we've got, because they made a picture of Mandela made of rocks and proteas and so on and so forth.
Phenomenal.
And that was by pure chance that it all came about. And then by pure chance again, someone asked me if I'd like to meet the Queen. And of course, I then handed over to her a Mandela medallion, and that's in her coin collection. In fact, she's one of the biggest coin and stamp collectors in the world. So it just happened by chance. And
There's the picture of you with the Queen, and there's the Mandela, a portrait that they made out of rocks and things in the background at the Royal Flower Show, Chelsea. That's incredible. What a moment.
Yeah. Sorry?
That's a pretty incredible moment to have had.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. My friend, the friend of mine who was the PR guy who set it up for me, said, "Sir, what did she do with the coin?" I said, "Like, what do you think she did with the coin?" "She put it in her bag."
Now, we've always wondered what's in that bag, so now we know it's one of your coins. So, Carolyn,
we had a nice chat. I told her about all the flora and fauna on Table Mountain. I was really winging it, but it was really a real experience.
That
was really wonderful. And from collecting coins, going to Kirsten Bosch, landing up at the Chelsea Flower Show,
it's a lovely story,
and meeting the Queen. So I think these things are all what serendipitous. And then I heard, of course, about the 67 blankets, and I was getting to 67, so I thought I might as well see what I can do to commemorate that day. And I phoned Carolyn up, and she wouldn't see me. And I persisted, and in the end, we met in Hyde Park.
Yeah,
I'd never been to Hyde Park before. And we got in very well, and I think you came with your sister, and we were having a real good time and speaking and talking all about music and rock.
Yeah.
The only difference is I like rock music and Carolyn likes classical music.
Right.
And I know that was a question that has been posed to me, and in my answer I said there, definitely not. So I definitely don't like
the classical
music. But we got on pretty well, and we worked on a project. And if I'm not mistaken, together with the Mint of Norway, 67 blankets, the Mint made a coin, a medallion, in the Nelson Mandela series with 67 and a quote from him.
Brilliant.
I'm sorry I don't have one to show you, but they all sold out.
Well, that's great news. No, I don't have a problem with that. That's the best kind of news. So, Carolyn, I mean, things are still steaming ahead. It's not as if you've stopped just because you've broken all these records. I see your – is that that cardigan or jersey that you're wearing, that's also a 67 blankets thing, right? There we are.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Isn't it lovely?
Great. I saw you had them.
I'm wearing my blankets.
It's magic. And you obviously, if these blankets don't just get thrown away once they've been made. They get sent to places where they're really needed. And you know, in a time like this where it's so cold, and everybody's thinking about winter, you've probably saved a couple of lives. Not too much to say.
Well, I think we've made a little bit of a difference. You know, obviously, you know, people need more than a blanket, but at least a blanket is something.
Sure.
We've just done some magnificent project, our Boca, the biggest Boca blanket in the world at Steyn City School recently, where we created blankets, thousands in green and gold. And so those blankets have been distributed mostly. I saw that yesterday on Mandela Day, our Cape Town ambassador, Sandy King, went out and distributed quite a number of blankets to a community in the Cape. And so, you know, I always say that 67 blankets does not sleep. And you know we don't, because, you know, if I take a rest, there are many other people that are out there doing the work, not just in South Africa, but, you know, in the United States, in England, throughout Africa, through our work with Absa Bank. It's just quite extraordinary that, a simple idea, a ball of wool, and a crochet hook can snowball into what many people are calling a movement for good, a movement for change in our world. So I'm very, very, very proud of it. You know, I think it's become my calling. You know, I used to, you know, tread the boards from stage to stage and try and get acting gigs on television and film. And now I'm the blanket lady and I'm very proud of it.
Well, you should be. It's terrific work. So, Alan and Carolyn, thank you both so much for joining us for the special edition of Mandela Day Collectomania. And we will see you both soon, I'm sure.
Thank you.
We love you. We love you, Gareth. Thank you so much for this blanket coverage.
All right, Alan, be good. We'll check in with you again soon, and we'll have more interesting and exciting Collectomania on the way for you in not too long a time. In fact, we'll have it next week, Monday. And if you have a collection, if you collect anything really interesting, you can tell us about that. We've had unbelievably cool people on in the last while of people who collect everything from dolls to jewelry to coins to swords to guns to tequilas, whatever it is that you're interested in, there's someone who collects it. Let us know, gareth@cliffcentral.com. Very, very good. So big thank you to Alan Demby, Rael's son, and then also to Carolyn Steyn, who this morning is continuing to do the great work that she has been doing for years now with 67 blankets for Mandela Day and making an enormous difference at the same time. Isn't that cool?
Very cool. And just a lot of energy and positivity. They look like two people who are fulfilling or leading a full life, rather, and doing what they love. So it's really nice to see.
Well, Carl says something quite funny here. He says, I'm sure Carolyn got fired from Classic FM because she broke all the records. Very good. Very nice. All right. Excellent stuff.
Oh, gosh.
God, people are really, this is Monday. You're treading through.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is only Monday. Imagine what we're going to feel like by Thursday if those are the kind of jokes that are coming in. Thank you, Carl. Erica says, I crochet baby blankets. I haven't done that in ages. Well, start doing it again now. Carolyn can do with some more.
I was just thinking about that and the movement that's being created by Caroline and how, decades back, I think about my gran who crocheted until she just couldn't anymore because of the arthritis. But she crocheted and knitted blankets and clothing for kids. They were called the Twilight Children in those days.
What was that a euphemism for? Because these days we would just say orphans or something.
I don't know if it has any weird connotations behind it. I really haven't thought about it until today.
Twilight.
But it was, it was for homeless babies, babies in particular who had been born
sort of abandoned
orphans.
Children. Yeah.
And she knitted like you won't believe. If she could have stayed awake 24 hours, she would have. And you just think of how little that little movement was, but huge for her, and what it could have become if you look at today.
Well,
with Caroline,
What she said, Caroline has said, is that it's also really cathartic and meditative when you're doing that, because it's something that you're keeping your hands busy with and you're thinking, and it gives people a bit of a pause for thought. You know, most of the time we're all so busy on these devices, we don't actually get time to think. We don't get time to just relax, do something that's therapeutic. And I think it can be. So if you're one of those people who's discovered something like crocheting or knitting or whatever, then it can be a really useful way for you to keep yourself sane when things around us are as crazy as they are. So Erica says, my semi-precious stone bead collection is in storage in a Mansum Toti. I don't even want to phone and find out if it's still there. Because,
oh,
of course,
no.
Yeah, because they burnt down a bunch of storage units as well during last week's craziness. Linton says, 67 Blankets have donated an excess of 70,000 handmade blankets since their inception, which is absolutely amazing. And then again, well done to Scoyne for the recent donation of 67,000 Rand in wool. So lots of people talking about all the differences that are being made there. Very good. Very, very good. This is another stupid joke from Carl. He seems to be on a roll this morning, and I'm only going to do this because I feel sorry for him. He says, Gareth, I'd like to know, if you meet someone who's not called Sarah, who is the love of your life, is it still serendipity?
Oh, yuck.
Jesus, that's bad. I don't even know what to say.
Bad joke.
Full of so beans bad. There, hey? Oh, old, what's the Santos? That's Portuguese for the saint, hey? Or something like that.
Something like that. So yeah, apparently,
yeah, come on.
You know, the Olympics are coming up, right? And there's always this thing with the Olympics and sex. Like, should the athletes be having sex? Should they not be having sex? Because if they do, does it affect their performance negatively? So apparently with Tokyo, they've actually set up anti-sex beds. Now, I don't know how these work, but we need to know. Because if there's such a thing as an anti-sex bed, there are probably a number of people who could benefit from that.
So there are many ways of looking at this, but I'll take it from the angle of the anti-sex bed, if that's what you want, if that's how you want to look
yeah,
at it.
Yeah, let's start with that.
But in the village, there are the beds that have been set up for the Olympic village rooms for accommodation.
Yeah.
The base is made out of cardboard. You know that special cardboard that can expand and contract, and it's all shapen and it forms furniture. Have you seen cardboard furniture?
Mm, okay.
Those pieces that can fold and concertina right. and right. become different shapes.
I got you.
So the bed base is made of two sections of that cardboard, and on top sits a mattress. And there is a lot of people are saying that these are anti-sex beds because they can only take the weight of one person. But what's funny is that the weight of one person in this instance is 200 kilograms. And if you're looking at a couple of long-distance runners, well, you could have an orgy.
Oh, my God.
If you could have, like, four long-distance runners and throw in a gymnast as well.
Because it's
so
light.
You could have enough fun without breaking the bed. But no, the background to it is that it's an environmental thing because these bases can be recycled after they've been used and no longer have a use after the Olympics, which makes a lot of sense to me. Then there are some other people who are worried about if they're bed waiters, what might happen to the base of their bed. They might wake up on the floor one day.
Oh, my God.
So a whole lot of weird theories going on. But, whether they're anti-sex beds or not, they're still handing out condoms and, trying to encourage social distancing.
You have the finest physical specimens in the world all gathered together in one city, all living in accommodation with and near each other. There's bound to be so much of that going on. And as is pointed out here by another Gareth, he says, who's going to tell them that you don't need the bed for sex? Correct.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Exactly. These are probably the most flexible people in the world. They can do this standing without a problem.
Yeah, or give them the floor. I mean, they'll manage. It's going to be fine. People will find that. They'll find a way, trust me. I just think about all those people, like, in just the best shape of their lives. The finest physical specimens of humanity in the year 2021. They're the ones who survived, all the the COVID nonsense. They're out there ready to win at various events. Just fantastic. There's no way that these guys and girls aren't going to look at each other and go, yeah, I think it's time.
No, it's an orgy. I can confirm that from a reliable source. Trust me.
Right.
She says, that, so you know, the athletes are pent up often for 8-year cycles,
yes,
but some for 4-year cycles. And you look like that, and then he looks like that. Come on, now. No, it's an orgy. That I can confirm. It's well known that the Athletics Village is an orgy at the Olympics, and good for them.
So for these super athletes, beds are overrated. But for the Turkish weightlifters, how are they going to sleep? That's what Tracy wants to know. Absolutely. No.
Yeah. Athletes do come in all shapes and sizes. That's for sure.
So Mbulelo,
the hammer throw guys.
Mbulelo, you're launching the new Cliff Central Sport today. Have you been talking about the Olympics at all? Because I haven't heard that much noise about it. When does it actually start?
The football starts before the opening ceremony. That's on the 21st. So, mm-hmm. So that's 2 days before. The 23rd is the Olympics, and is it going to be the most boring opening ceremony ever? Are they allowed to gather and dance and
I hope so.
Whatever, you know? Yeah. No. So let's hope that they can make an event of that. We'll see how that goes. But football and archery will start things off on the 21st. So I haven't really been talking about it because they're really trying to sanitize this thing from Japan. Even the articles, they aren't really giving us too much, but it's the Olympics. We're going to get into something, right? There's going to be an Algerian swimmer who's probably had to, I don't know, sell a cousin's kidney to get there. You know, there's always an awesome story in the Olympics. So it's the greatest show on earth. As much as I love football globally, let's get going. Friday, 23rd, let's get going, Japan.
And tell us, if you haven't subscribed already to Cliff Central Sport, why you have to do it from today.
Yes. So we are... big announcement. The studio will be upping production over the next, whether today or tomorrow, you'll definitely be seeing a new look. You know, we're doing it. So also, it's important for my ego that you like, share, subscribe so that people think I'm a good person because I'm more popular.
You need
that
in your life. So you must do that. Right.
Yeah, that's what it's about ultimately. But you know what? On a very serious note, there have been people who supported it. Remember, Gareth, when we started, I was just doing it on my laptop by myself.
That's right.
The team's growing. And we really... kind of like this show does for those early birds, is we'd like to create more content of quality, but also, especially in the time we live in, people need a mental vacation, you know? So mm-hmm. I'd love people to just come and hang out for 2 hours between 12 and 2 live every day on YouTube for now. We are working on an audio-based solution as well. But just come and hang out like you do with us here and have a laugh. You know, it's not just for people who are hardcore sports fans.
Right.
Just come and have a laugh and take a mental vacation, especially not just South Africans. Globally, I think we need that more than ever now. And people have been so supportive. Let's give something back.
We're not going to discriminate. If you come from some horrible country, we will still let you watch and be part of the show.
Even if you're a vegan, I'll let the vegans and the CrossFit people listen. You're more than welcome.
There we go.
So Cliff Central Sport on social media, or the podcast is the MKT Show. So yeah, look out for that. And I'm super, super grateful to everybody who supported us to this point, but we're just getting started. And
magic.
It's really, really excited. For
very everyone. Good. So today is if you haven't joined today, there's no excuse not to and get stuck in there. All right. Big thanks to everybody who was on with us today. Dr. Hanan, Carolyn, Alan, everybody else who's been part of the show. And most especially to you. We will see you tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com or whoever you happen to end up around today. Because frankly, you know, during lockdown, beggars can't be choosers.
Never know.
Yeah, that's true.
See who you meet.
That is true. And also, don't get a tattoo of the girl you met on Tinder last night, please.
Oh, what a terrible idea.
No.
Good Lord. All right. Thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow. CliffCentral.com.